Good morning. My name is Johan, and I'm one of the pastors here at Westside Church International. And it's always a pleasure, a privilege, and a big responsibility to share God's word and just to be here teaching myself and trying to teach you something today. So why don't we pray before we start and just give this time to God and our hearts and our minds to Him. Father in heaven, you are our maker. And because of that, you know us better than even we do. Nobody else knows us better than you do, Father. And we want to trust that even though you know us, Father, you love us so much like nobody else. So we come before you this morning, giving you our hearts, our minds, opening our lives to you, Father, and hoping and trusting that your Holy Spirit will come and do something new in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we have been as teaching on the war for spiritual and emotional health on the edge, meaning that there are circumstances, there are emotions, there are things in our lives that push us to the edge in which we sometimes just, we can't handle life anymore. And we struggle a lot, and we believe that the Bible has a lot to say about it and that God is interested in walking with us and helping us through those moments and those seasons in our lives when we feel like we are on the edge, that we need to recover our emotional and our spiritual health. That is God's desire. That's why the pastors have been preaching about this issue. That's why we are going through the groups, you know, small groups at home, dealing with this and studying about this same topic, how to be more emotional and spiritual, doing better in those areas. So today's topic is unhealthy coping mechanisms. And the idea for this subject is that one of the things that triggers and that pushes to the edge emotionally is that we don't know how to cope in a healthy way when we are going through stress, anxiety, depression, and many other circumstances in our lives. So, and many of us at some level, I tend to believe that all of us at some level somehow need to review how we cope, how we deal, how we manage when we are in circumstances that are pushing us to the edge emotionally. So our topic is that unhealthy coping mechanisms and what the Bible has to say about it and how we can develop and grow and heal and manage our conflict, our struggles in a better way, in a healthy way. How can we become better at managing these conflicts and emotional struggles? So what is a coping mechanism? So the basic definition is that a coping mechanism are the tactics that we use to manage or tolerate conflict, stress, anxiety, fears, trauma, etc. That's the basic definition. It's just tactics that we use to manage or tolerate conflict, stress, and many other emotions, right? What is an unhealthy coping mechanism then? An unhealthy coping mechanism, it has the idea of hiding the undesired emotions resulting from conflict, stress, anxiety, etc. And the characteristic of this unhealthy coping mechanism is they're just there for a short period of time. So that's very important for us to know, is that we all want to escape from feeling fearful, feeling afraid, feeling anger, and not wanting to think about the results of a stress or anxiety of an issue in your relationships. And you want to avoid the pain that comes with in those situations. And some of us have the tendency to go with and find unhealthy coping mechanisms that they just hide for a short period of time that issue, but they are not solving anything. The issue is gonna stay there until we learn how to cope in a healthy way with those moments when we feel that we're losing it, that we're not having control of our emotions. So That's the basic definition of an unhealthy coping mechanism. And to expand on this or to navigate this topic, the idea that we have to keep in mind is that word in yellow right there is hiding. Whatever unhealthy coping mechanism we use, the bottom line is that we're trying to hide. We're trying to hide the painful emotion that comes with the struggle, whether that's anxiety, stress, trauma, depression. Whatever you're going through in that moment, the unhealthy coping mechanism is going to help you, quote unquote, to hide. So that's the key word that we're going to be reviewing through our message today. And to navigate this, we're going to go to Genesis 3. If you have your Bible, you can go there or no, you can just follow on the screen. And we're going to go to Genesis 3. And some of us might be thinking, well, what does it have to do Genesis 3 with this? If you don't know Genesis 3, Genesis 3 is the key, I call it the key chapter in the whole Bible. Let's say that there was no more ink in the world back then. They only got the chance to write one chapter. I think that would be the chapter, Genesis 3, because it is full of understanding why we are like we are today, but also it's full of grace. So that's the message of the Bible, is why we need Jesus. That chapter explains both circumstances, where we started and how we came about needing a Savior. So that's the key chapter. Genesis 3 is the story when we have Adam and Eve, the perfect marriage, the perfect couple, not struggling with at any level, prosperity at all levels, emotionally, spiritually, and in the relationship. They were just having so much fun in paradise, right? That's the chapter when we see Satan just appearing all of a sudden. But before that, the Bible doesn't explain why Satan is Satan. And we just see him, the serpent, tempting and accomplishing the goal of just causing humanity to sin for the first time and marking a separation and a needed reconciliation with God. That is the chapter where we see why the world today suffers so much, why we see the earth just growing like, oh, I need restoration. That's why we explain why the God that loves us so much, it's allowing earthquakes and hurricanes to devastate nature. That's the chapter when we explain why the earth is cursed. That's the chapter where we see why we suffer so much in life. That's the chapter when we see how God initiates the plan to restore and to heal humanity and his creation. That's the chapter, honestly. That's the chapter. And in this chapter, we see these dynamics in which I think are very important. So that's the background for this chapter. And we're going to be reading some verses from this chapter in which we're going to navigate the dynamics of how Adam and Eve dealt with their stress, shame, anxiety, fears, guilt, and how they cope with that. So we're going to start reading in Genesis 3, verses 8, and it says this: "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you you were naked?'" Right? That's the first conversation that we see happening between God and humanity. And we see this scene of fear, hiding, shame, nakedness, guilt, and a God that is asking a basic question: "Where are you? Where are you?" And that is the question that God always asks every one of us when we are exposed to a situation in which we are needing to cope in a healthy way. Where are you? Meaning, where is your heart right now? What emotion are you feeling? What happened with you? What is going through your mind? What is going through your heart in this circumstance? So when God asks Adam, where are you? He is not saying, hey, I can't see you. Stop playing hide and seek. Come out where you are. It's not about a place. It's more about identity type of question. Where are you right now? And we see Adam responding. The question is, where? And he responds with a because. When you ask where, right, I'm here. You respond with a location type. He said, God, you know what? I heard that you were walking, and because I was afraid, and then I looked at myself, and I was naked. Man, that's so shameful. I just felt the need to hide from you. I just imagine just God asking. I didn't ask you why you hid. I just asked him, where are you? Where is your heart right now? And we see this dynamic in this conversation. And when we see the whole passage, we see very inconsistency in the replies. And right. So the conversation is about that moment in which Adam has lost somehow his identity as a worshiper, as a son of God. And we see a God that is getting close. Just picture for a second God not walking towards them. What could have happened? That is the first step, I call it, towards grace. God initiates that moment in which he is interested in getting close to us, to Adam, because he had in mind something. For some of us, that something might be, oh yeah, God is coming now, and he's getting close. He has a belt in his hand, and I better hide, because that might be your dad. For others, it might be a God that is making a lot of noise, stomping, and just looking, and may you be thinking, oh, I really messed it up. I have to hide. I don't even know how my dad is going to react when he sees me. So just picture a God that is walking. The Bible doesn't say what exactly is the emotion that God is feeling at that moment. But I am going to encourage you to think of a God that is coming to help. A God that is wanting for us to say, Dad, I am here. Please grab my hand. I tried to hide, and these bushes, they have thorns, and it hurts even more. Please get me out of here. I used to think that when God was walking towards Adam and Eve in that moment, he was coming with the belt. And sometimes that's my struggle in my relationship with God. But I believe, and I choose to believe over and over, that it's a God that is coming that is a dad, that is a father. Because the fact that God initiates the getting close to them talks about, I am here and I'm going to do something. And the chapter ends somehow in a beautiful way. We're going to get there. So that's kind of the conversation that we see here between God and Adam. The first conversation, where are you? God, I hid because, no, stop right there. I'm not asking you to explain to me why you're hiding. God, but I need it. No. I don't want an explanation. I don't want a because answer. I'm just asking you, where are you? And that's the question that God is asking all of us over and over. Where are we? Are we in pain? Are we in shame? Are we hiding? Are we stressed? Are we afraid? Where are you? Some of us go quickly and say, God, what happened is that, you know what? When I was a kid, I had this event in which this boy was a bully, and then I grew up as a person that I was going to be even better than that guy, the Joker. If you haven't seen the movie or the story, that's kind of what happened with the Joker. He justifies, and I'm hiding behind this mask of a clown because I can't handle the pain, and I need to prove something to somebody. And that's why I hide. And God said, no, I'm just asking you, where are you? And we can keep going with the answers and give and try to explain to God why. Because society is evil, because the government doesn't help, because I'm from Colombia, because I'm from Africa, because I'm brown, because I'm black, because I'm yellow, because I'm white. We can justify in many ways our pain. We can justify it, but God is not asking that question. He knows it already. He wants our heart. He wants us for us to say, God, where I am, I am in pain. I am in frustration. I'm just in that place where I feel bad. I feel shame. What emotions were going through Adam? Nakedness speaks of shame. Shame triggers hiding over and over. When we don't deal with shame, we will continually hide. What other emotion? Fear. When we don't deal with fear, we will always gonna put a mask and we're gonna avoid. We don't try. We withdraw. So he's experiencing those emotions that are triggering this hiding. What do we discover in this story then? We discover that unhealthy coping mechanisms will always distance us from God. When we use an unhealthy coping mechanism, we are walking away more and more from God. That's what Adam did. He hid and he was away from God more and more. So what else happened? Unhealthy coping mechanism will make you blame others for your own struggles. That is what happened over and over. We've seen this story with Adam and with our own stories. Why are you a person that is so bitter? Well, look at my mom, look at my grandpa, look at my dad, my teacher, middle school. We always tend to blame and we don't take responsibility. An unhealthy coping mechanism that we see in this story is blaming others for my own struggles. How do we get out of that? We have to own our part. We have to be responsible for what belongs to us. This picture, we see these two little brothers. How many of you have you seen those two little ones? And we see these two little boys, like we see God, Adam and Eve. We're going to play the video, actually, and kind of portray in a funny way what's going on there.
Whose idea was this? Did you think this was a good idea? Look at brother's face. Who got the paint out? Brother did? How'd he get it?
He built the stairs. Yes, did he?
With what?
With blocks.
With blocks?
Yes, he built the stairs, did he?
How come you didn't tell him no? Who's the big brother? You are. How come you didn't tell him no? That wasn't a good idea. Huh?
Hello.
Are you guys in trouble?
Yes, Daddy.
What should we do?
I don't know.
You guys got paint everywhere downstairs.
Yep.
Do you think you guys should have timeouts? You don't think so? Do you think I should not give you guys any more juice?
What is funny?
Nothing's funny, bud. You guys have paint everywhere.
In your hair, Daddy? In your hair, Daddy?
Yeah, in your hair.
My face?
Yeah, you have it all over your face.
Yeah. And my teeth?
How do you think we're gonna get this paint off? Nothing funny, but you guys are going to be in a timeout. You know that, right?
Yep.
Nope. Yep. I don't think this is funny at all. It's not funny. You guys are in big trouble. Both of you guys are in big trouble. Both of you guys are in big trouble. Both of you guys are in big, big trouble. Yeah.
Big trouble?
Big trouble.
So, yeah, it's very cute. But it's a reality. That's our tendency. We try to blame others for our own choices. And we try to transfer and to just pretend that we didn't do it. We just try to be even curious about it and say, well, if I didn't have this family, if I wasn't born in this country, if I didn't have this situation in my life, I would be a different person. We all say, if Adam and Eve they didn't make that choice, then maybe I should have been that first human being. That thing were a bit different. Probably our choices are our own decisions. And God knows that we have the potential to make bad decisions. And like these two boys, we just need to face our dad. You know, and I just speak for God, not laughing at that level, but I think God somehow, he's a father that get closer, intimate with, like that father there in the video, trying to help. Hey, we're going to fix it. There is a consequence, but there is also the relationship. I'm still your dad, and I'm still going to laugh with you in your decisions, in the sense that he's with us. He's not celebrating. God doesn't celebrate our bad choices, but something that God wants us is to own it. And I believe that we have been preaching for 9 weeks now on how we have been somehow victims of someone else's choices. And we have been putting our healing and our understanding of our own pain in the hands of someone else. I want to suggest, and I want to encourage you, I want to ask you that today will be a time when we just sit with that and say, God, I'm going to own it. I'm not going to hide anymore. I'm not going to blame my dad, my mom, because I'm a bitter person, because I have bad habits, because I cope with drinks or Netflix or Facebook when I'm stressed or when I'm sad. I'm not going to blame this situation and that situation for my decisions today. If you are an adult, your decisions are your decisions today. They don't belong to your parents or to your past. They are your present. They are our present, and we are responsible for them. We have to say, God, it was me. I'm making this choice, and I don't want to cope with this by hiding behind the lies or the temptation of alcohol, right? Habits, distractions, and other things that are unhealthy. There are many ways, healthy ways. I read an article that were like 40 ways to cope with, circumstances. Good ways, like walking, making a phone call, being thankful, things like that that are very simple. But we see that unhealthy coping mechanism will make you blame others for your own struggles. The other reality, and we see this, in the discussion with Adam, when God asked him, who told you that you were naked? And then it goes the conversation, and in verse 12, he responded. Adam responded, he says, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree. That's the big brother. And I ate it. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent you in this deceived me, and I ate it. So we're going to go over and over trying to find that root. And that bottom line is that we have to own it. So the third truth about unhealthy coping mechanism is that they will push us deeper into our fears. We think that, let's say you're thinking about your future, your finances, right, for next year, and you're starting to get anxious about it. say, man, I don't have enough. I want to buy this, or I'm trying to catch it up with debts and stuff like that, but I don't see it that it's going to happen. And then you feel anxious, you start feeling fearful about your future, and then you go and say, you know what, I need to just chill out and I'm going to, you know, have a drink. And you call a friend, you go and have a drink, you feel better at that moment. Then when you go back home, that fear might be greater than it was before. For that moment that you were at the bar, 2 hours, you know, whatever, you felt better because you laughed, you said bad jokes, you know, and stuff like that. And then you come back to your reality knowing that the stress and the anxiety is still present. Nothing was solved. So when we use coping mechanisms at that level that are unhealthy, whatever you escape is, I own my own escapes and they are mine and I know which one they are. Whatever is yours, when you come back, the fear is deep, is deeper, is greater. So they will push you more and more towards that fear. The fear of, I don't want to think about it. It's going to be painful if I can't pay my mortgage next month. Or it's going to be painful if my relationship is broken. So you avoid that pain by doing something, and then the fear comes back even greater. The next reality is that unhealthy coping mechanism will increase our already existing shameful emotions. We have shameful emotions that some of the struggles are triggering and bringing up over and over. And when we cope in an unhealthy way, that shame is going to increase. It's going to elevate. And that's what happened with Adam. He ran, and then he said, what are you doing this? Or where are you? And he said, well, I am naked. That meaning my shame is so great that I can't even face reality. His reality until that moment was God. From that moment on, it was a little bit different. So, 4 truths about unhealthy mechanism. They will push you away from God. They will make you blame others. They will push you deeper into your fears. And they will increase your already existing shameful emotions. Right? How do we deal with this? How can we, from this story, see redemption? How can we develop new strategies, new ways? And you have to know what is your default to go coping mechanism. Let's say you're arguing with your spouse. What do you do when you want to avoid the discussion? Let's say you are given a bad news about your health, about your finances. What is your default to go? Depression? Do you go to sleep? Do you go to Netflix, watch movies, you know? What do you do? What is your to-go escape? What is it that you run into when you are facing conflict, emotional conflicts? In this story, we see at least 3 things: shame, blaming, and fear. I would suggest from this story that there are also at least 4 healthy coping mechanisms. The first one is practice grace. If we practice grace in the moment of when we feel shameful, afraid, alone, devastated, frustrated, anger, we will know that there is a God that is willing to help. If we practice grace, we will see ourselves as someone who deserves somehow loved and who deserves to be restored. When we think of grace, we always put our attention in a God and God and not in ourselves. We put our attention in Jesus and his power and his love and not in ourselves. The other thing that we can do is practice hope. Hope will see tomorrow with different lenses. When we're practicing hope, we are thinking that Jesus can redeem whatever was damaged, whatever has been damaged, and he can make it better tomorrow. When we think of hope, we're also using faith, trusting God's promises for what is coming. The next thing that we can do is to practice community. In this scenario, the solution wasn't to hide, and God wanted to get closer. Practicing community is one of the things that we have forgotten. and how important, how beautiful it is for us to really think of someone that can be that person that we can go to, that we can text, that we can call when we are tempted to use an unhealthy mechanism. Practicing community will open doors for us to process out loud by talking. Just the idea of talking to someone will help to understand what is going on in your heart, what is going on in that moment, and what is the emotion that you are feeling. So practicing community will bring us to that moment in which we can say, hey, I'm with you and you're with me. We both are in the same journey and God is with us. So practicing community gives perspective in that we're not alone, which is what the devil wanted to do at first, but he wanted to isolate them, and he did it. He just took an opportunity one by one, and he did it, and he tempted, and he caused them to sin and to disobey God. And that's what he wants us to do, be isolated, because he knows that there is a power in a strong community. The fourth thing that we can do is pray. Something that I have experienced, that when I feel like I need an escape, whatever that might be, I do a short prayer in my heart, in my time, and I say, God, please, I need you at this moment. I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling weird. I feel anxious. Be with me. And I feel like God, he does it. And even the prayer, it changed my mind. It switched something in my mind, in my heart, that makes me more vulnerable to what God can do in me. So at the end of the story, we see that in verse 21, that the Lord did something very interesting. It says that the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. That is the first, let's put it that way, sacrificial offering that we see in God doing it for us. It's a prototype, let's put it like that, or a type of Jesus dying to cover our shame. Somebody or something died that day in order for Adam and Eve to be covered of their shame. An animal was sacrificed in order for Adam and Eve to be covered, and God did it for them. That's when I see the beauty of the story. God is willing to restore, to cover our shame, our fears, our mistakes, our sins, our disobedience. And that's why I said, practice grace. That's when we use grace and say, God, I need you. In the moment when I feel like I need to escape and hide, I'd rather go and say, God, I need you. And in that moment, God is going to do it. God is going to sew a new cloth for you. And that's what the Old Testament talks about, new clothes, new clothing, and new covering, white clothes. And that's what God wants to do with us in our journey. As we prepare to sing, as we prepare to worship, I'm going to encourage you, just stand up and start thinking. Where are you? That's the question that this passage is asking you today. Just stand up and just start connecting with God. And God is asking that question, where are you today? What coping mechanism have you been using? Are they building you? Are they pushing you away from me? Are they pushing you even deeper into your fears? Are they helping you? And this is the moment to practice grace, to practice God's love, and to be embraced by Him and to run to Him. Father, please clothe us with new garments, Father. We all need that. We all need that touch of grace, touch of healing, touch of love and forgiveness. Father, where there is shame, I pray, Father, that shame would not push us away from you, because that's what shame does. That's what the devil does. He uses that. He uses our fears, our shame, our guilt to push us away from you, Father. And he lied to us, say it's better to hide. Keep hiding. That's what the devil says. But God says, where are you? I am here, ready for you.